It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
From the great studios of Freedom's Phoenix Studios here in Phoenix, Arizona, is Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And we have a great lineup for you today. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to go to Adam Kokesh. Now, last week we introduced you to Adam with some of the YouTubes that he's had and the message that he's trying to bring out. And there's a lot going on there. And I want to make sure we get to that. We're going to spend the whole hour with Adam. Then we have Miss Shedlock. And Miss Shedlock's an economist that we first came to attention of us when we were trying to understand the big three. Ford, General Motors, Chrysler about 3-4 years ago, and he predicted what's happening right now. When he comes on in the next hour, we would be asking him, did you predict Government Motors? Did you predict that the government would actually take over General freaking Motors? Is that on your list of possibilities? I mean, wow. So we're going to be talking about that and many other things, especially, you know, Dr. Paul, you know, giving it to Bernanke again yesterday, the Federal Reserve, saying, you know, what up? You know, are you going to be monetizing the debt? Oh, no, we'd never do that. Then you go buy, you know, over half of what they offered, billions of dollars worth yesterday. You know what? He must have been doing his BlackBerry, saying, yeah, you know, push and done. So we're going to be talking about that, too. Adam may have some, you know, views on that. But, you know, you remember him, and kind of to put what launched him, I'll just give you just a, you know, 40 seconds of a speech he gave at the Revolution March, just so you kind of see, you know, what brought him to our attention.
It has been said that when in the course of human events, an oppression so revolts its subjects that it becomes necessary to alter or abolish the means of that tyranny. Is it that time when our Bill of Rights is defiled every day? When our adventures abroad threaten our security at home? When the Federal Reserve keeps our free nation enslaved by debt? When the people of the world tremble under the thumb of corporate imperialism? And now, our nation is drifting dangerously from freedom to fascism. So I have to ask, is it time?
Oh, good question. Good question. Good question. Now, let's go ahead and talk. We got just a minute, you know, before we got to go to the break here. It's a short segment, and we'll get right back with Adam. But I just got to ask Adam real quick. Adam, is it time?
It is well past time, Mr. Hancock.
You know, what determined that it's time? I mean, you know, for you personally, I'm sure you've gone through your own revelations. But, I mean, if when you gave that speech, it resonated so much with so many people to have someone up there with your credentials that represented their generation saying, hey, you know, whatever the stuff they were teaching us in social studies, you know, and government and everything, it's time, right? I mean, can we agree on that?
It's time. And for me, it is long past time, and I think for everybody who's woken up to the criminality of our current system of government, it is well past time. In fact, it's shameful almost that we haven't said it's time a long time ago, because our founders expected us to have a revolution with every generation, and we have been falling down on the job.
Oh, that just means it's going to get even more intense as we go in. But you talk about keeping the love in the Lovolution. And when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me and Adam Kokesh, we're going to talk about his role, our role, and your role. We'll be right back here from Freedom's Phoenix Studios on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children.
Yeah, let's take a break. Let's just stop here for a second. Let's go to someone that, you know, there's a man with a gun over there. Now, that could be, you know, that guy shooting you, or you're shooting them, but I'm telling you, you got guns over there, and we're paying for them, and I'm like, can we not? And do we have a reason? What was the good reason? Now, the one thing I want to do is I want to go through, we have an hour, and this segment, we got 12 minutes, so we want to make sure we spend some time with Adam, and I want to get his perspective, because he has been a focus that the other side, now, you know, who is the other side? There are those that are of the opinion that war is bad. Now, this is bad, and this is not a just war by any criteria, of course, that they put on. Now, there are others, war good, or it's a just war. And when you have people that represent, that are the focal point, certainly this Generation Next that's coming up, this revolution, this lovolution that has already been ignited, that you have Adam Kokesh with the endorsement of Dr. Ron Paul. I mean, he's, you know, I can't stand calling him congressman. It's so demeaning. But, and you're running for Congress. You're going to get demeaned.
I know, but it's so demeaning. This stuff is making combat look easy.
Well, you know, one thing that I want to get into, and we'll get into all the details and the controversy, but, you know, tell us from the beginning. I mean, you know, I don't need all the gory little details, but, you know, there's all kinds of things I want to get into about your history, but I need for the base for us to understand what mindset did you go to Iraq with? What was, you know, your apple pie, America, and the flag? I mean, where was your mind at?
Well, not quite. I was against the invasion and went to the one day of student walkouts before the war. I think that was, you know, February 2003, March. You know, the invasion started March 19. And at the end of the day of rally and, you know, banging pots and pans and walking through classroom areas and disturbing people, we all held hands and made a human peace sign. And there were people there that were kind of disappointed that didn't stop the war from happening. But, of course, it went on anyways. And I thought that because what I was lacking at the time was a real good appreciation for the great American tradition of being lied to by our government. And so I believed the storyline. I believed Colin Powell at the UN with his little bottle of nutmeg or whatever it was. But after that, I believed that the storyline was we are cleaning up our mess and responsible foreign policy and genuinely trying to be good by the Iraqi people. And I think I could have rationalized to the point where, well, yeah, it sucks that this is even necessary, but we got to go do it, and it's going to be a fun job. And you know, for me as a young, aggressive Marine, it was like, well, I'm not going to be the guy to miss the party. Half the Marine Corps is going to go get a combat action ribbon. I'm not going to get left out of this. So I volunteered, and I was really excited about our mission, and I genuinely thought that what we were doing was trying to help the Iraqi people. And I had to go for myself to find out that that was not the case. But I volunteered to transfer to a civil affairs unit that was going to be deploying to Iraq in February. And so that was something that was really exciting for me. And I believed, I think at this point it was my lack of historical perspective that you know weighed against my enthusiasm for going out and getting a combat action ribbon that failed to inform my perspective fully as it should have in a way that would have kept me from going to Iraq.
Let me interject. I want to ask you a question. You start to see the marketing campaigns. I mean, you know, before you, in the middle of the movie trailers, when you go to the movies, they got all these, you know, guns blazing, going, saving people and throwing water to hurricane victim kind of military, we're the good guys stuff, and right. A few good men, and they're marketing to these guys. And from someone that was exposed to that, you joined the Marines at 17.
Right, and that was in 1999, and back then, I mean, the propaganda was not nearly as thick as it is today, or as it was immediately following 9/11. So it was a really big difference. I mean, I joined with the delusion that the Marine Corps had a net effect of peace on the world. You know, I thought if more by our presence than by our actions, but a little historical perspective would say that the net effect, based on the people that control the Marine Corps, is that it's even by its presence, it may be a force for peace, but if it's a force for peace, it's only by suppressing violent retaliation through the American empire of exploitation.
So you go, arrive, and
yeah.
When did you start having, did you have to come back before you got perspective, or did you start to get it there?
Well, it was kind of interesting because I didn't. I was so wrapped up in what I was doing and committed to being a good Marine, and it was a really interesting time. I was in Fallujah, February, September 2004. June 28th, we had the handover of power engineered by Paul Bremer, and that was, of course, the first of four times now that they celebrated their independence since we invaded. It seems like their new national pastime, you know, declaring their sovereignty. And I believed it. You know, I was so wrapped up in because at least I knew that what was directly in front of me in civil affairs was a good mission, and I really thought that I could do some good. And, you know, to some degree we did, and there are some things that we did in Iraq that I was actually proud of. But I realized that in the bigger picture, in the larger scope of nation building, what we were doing was insignificant compared to the harm that was associated with our presence there and how imposing martial law was such a regressive force for Iraqi society. And what they really needed at the time more than anything was rule of law. And we were so caught up with, oh, we're going to take charge and we're going to rebuild for you, you know, which is the typical government mentality. We're going to break your leg, give you a crutch, and say, you know, if it wasn't for the government, you wouldn't be able to walk. Instead of saying, well, you know, let's set you off with what you need. Let's, you know, when you get a bull in the china shop, you don't tell the bull to put the china back together, you get them out of there, and you write a check for the damages. And that's what I've been advocating, you know, since I got active with Iraq Veterans Against the War, because we advocate reparations. Now, this sounds, to some degree, contradictory to the libertarian philosophy, because foreign aid is so repulsive, to say we're going to take money from the American people to give to a foreign entity of any kind. But in Iraq, I think, because I do believe in holding the government accountable, I believe in the end of the sovereign immunity crap, that when an agent of the government comes into your home, whether it's legal or not, and causes some damages, you should be able to hold them accountable. And I believe that's true in the United States, and I believe that's true in Iraq. And, you know, if the American people have to pay for this, I'm sorry, but it's our fault. We are responsible for, as a country, as a people at least, we are responsible for the damage that has been done there. And I would hope maybe not the traditional thoughts of reparations in terms of a, some largesse going through the government. But at least on our way out, what I'd like to see is that what we did at the end of the first battle of Fallujah was pay very specific battle damage claims. And it was kind of sad because if someone had a relative that had died, we would pay them $2,500. Whereas if I were to die right then and there, my parents would have gotten $400,000 from Service Members Group Life Insurance. You know, and it just really showed the sort of difference in respect to life. It really created a bad juxtaposition of screwed up values there. But
let me ask this question. Are you saying you get insurance as a combat veteran, you're a Marine over there, there's a payoff, life insurance of $400,000?
Right, and you get to, you know, select when you enlist how much is taken out of your paycheck to determine how much you get. But $400,000 is the base, and it's a good program that's provided.
I'd be worried about, you know, family members putting a hit out on you being over in Iraq. I'm like, holy moly, that's a lot of money.
These days they could really probably arrange something like that. But what I'd like to see, because I do advocate immediate withdrawal, and I know that that's a significant logistical process. So when we're advocating immediate withdrawal, to me that first and foremost means an immediate end to all combat operations, all patrols, all things that are imposing martial law. And that then you begin the logistical process. And two things that have to happen within that, I believe. One, obviously you have to hand over the actual physical facilities that you are occupying to Iraqi security forces. But I'd also like to see civil affairs teams empowered to go out and do what we were doing, and at least on our way out say we're sorry and we are holding our government accountable for the damages that it has caused you as individual Iraqis because of our military intervention here. You know, not that it was not, and it doesn't have to be an admission of guilt as much as, you know, we're sorry we had a hand in this, you are suffering, and, you know, we are responsible and we'd like to hold ourselves accountable for that. And I think on the way out, as everything else is going on in that logistical process of packing up, you can send out civil affairs teams to do that. You know,
I'd like
to see that happen in the United States for people that are suffering directly at the violent hands of government as well.
Yeah, like the drug war or kicking in grandma's kind of, you know, I understand. But, you know, the thing, you know, we're coming up on the break here, but real quick, I want to just get a quick answer from you on this, is that would it be cheaper to do that? I mean, you know, what they're doing now,
Oh, yes. It would be far cheaper to do what I'm advocating, because what I'm advocating, you know, I realized when we were there, we were giving contracts out to, you know, rebuild or refurbish schools and mosques and clinics and things like that. You know, and the average contract was between $20,000-$30,000, and it would take us, it wasn't like we were going through multiple ones a day. It was like it would take us a few days, and it was a long process, and you have to go out and visit the site. And I'm thinking, how much does it cost to put an American patrol on the streets in Iraq, you know, per hour? And we were obviously spending way, way, way more money there maintaining our presence than we were actually putting towards reconstruction projects.
Well,
so
you know,
compared
this,
to continuing the damage and maintaining our presence, yes, this would be far cheaper.
Yeah, no, I understand. And my point is that, you know, it's not really about money or saving money. It's about who gets the money. So when we come back, we're going to talk about who gets the money. But, you know, they have to get it from somewhere. It's coming from us. More with Adam. More with Adam Kokesh. We come back on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, another independence declaring kind of guy, Adam Kokesh.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Come, you masters of war. Here they build the big guns. Here they build the death planes. Here they build all the bombs. Here they hide behind walls. It hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing.
Yeah, we can see through your mask. You know, this entire anti-war movement that's going on now is so paralleled to what was happening in the Vietnam era. Why? Because it's the same thing. Iraq, the whole Middle East, is just like Vietnam without the humidity. You know, and the people that when you came back from Iraq, there was, as you started to get involved in the anti-war movement, how many the Iraq veterans meeting with Vietnam veterans, you know, people that were decades before, what were the parallels that they expressed to you? Adam?
Yeah, the comparison's not really a fair one because in Iraq, it's such a dry heat. You know, once it gets over 115 degrees, the human body really can't tell the difference. But like Vietnam, it is a conflict designed not to be won, but to be sustained. And it's been incredible coming home and having groups like Veterans for Peace, which includes a lot of Vietnam and older generation veterans who experience the same thing. And what's really striking here is looking at the numbers and the suicide data. As many troops as we lost in combat in Vietnam is about 52,000. We lost more than that to suicide afterwards. And what we have in Iraq is, I think, a higher incidence of PTSD because, and Afghanistan, because you don't have a rear area, you don't have front lines, you have that heightened state of awareness that makes trauma, when it occurs, much more impacting deeper into the brain than when you're in a normal state, you know.
And PTSD, course, go ahead and explain what that is.
Stress disorder, of course, it's not unique to combat. I mean, people who are in traumatic experiences here at home and car accidents, whatever, can experience it. But the great aggravating factor of combat to this is that your mind is in a place of heightened awareness. And so when trauma pierces that, it has a much greater impact on the human psyche and leads to different things that are typical of that are associated with combat-related PTSD. And what we have also in Iraq is, because of the medical technologies and the armor technologies, we have people experiencing and surviving much at a much higher rate traumatic experiences. And so we're already seeing suicide numbers for Iraq veterans going up at alarming rates as guys get home and get out of the military and are drinking themselves into bottles and destroying their lives. But it's going to get a lot worse. And it's really sad because, you know, we're saving so many more lives on the battlefield with increased medical technology, and a lot of them are coming home and killing themselves.
And because they're missing limbs or sight, they're burned severely.
Well, that's part of it. You know, and often it's the guys like that do better. And one Vietnam veteran that was participated in a peer support group that I organized when I was living in Washington, D.C., was a Vietnam vet who took a piece of shrapnel through his shoulder, and his arm, his right arm was had nerve damage, and so he had it in this brace, and he used it. It was a great thing for him to have a means of expression when he came home, because people would always ask him, "Hey, man, what happened to your arm?" And he'd say, "Oh, well, I was in Vietnam, and I caught a piece of shrapnel, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth." And it was a means for him to tell his story. And this is what was so key about this peer support group that I organized, is that you're taking things that are rattling around in your subconscious, affecting your behavior in ways that you don't fully understand and cannot control. You put it front and center in your conscious mind by speaking about it or writing about it or singing about it or communicating it through art. But you put it front and center in your conscious mind in a way that allows you to control it instead of it controlling you. And it's a very empowering process. And that's why the VA will never be able to help as much as is needed with PTSD, because what these veterans need is people that are welcoming them to come home and tell their stories and express themselves and get that out instead of burying these things. And all too often in the mentality with these wars, through the propaganda, we have an attitude of denying the cost and not wanting to hear the real stories. And
well, tell us about Winter Soldier. I mean, this happened
exactly after
Vietnam. They did the same thing, and now you had Iraq veterans coming in and telling their stories. And we have just a minute, but I want to get, what's the impact of that, not only on the people that tell the stories, but I know the impact it had on me.
Well, I think this is crucial to supporting Ron Paul's message in foreign policy, and in understanding it, it's about blowback. And I think this is something that the neoconservative mentality is totally divorced from, you know, this part of the natural human inclination to empathy. We never put ourselves in the shoes of the occupied or the enemy or the people, you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think that was the greatest impact of the Winter Soldier testimonies for us, was being able to help people understand the true nature of occupation and imposing martial law, and to realize that not all the Iraqi people are ecstatic that we're there every day. And I think, you know, really quite the opposite is true. We're to the point 90% of the Iraqis think it's okay to kill Americans in Iraq. You know, how did we get to that point? And I think the testimony of the day-to-day goings-on in Iraq really helped shed some light on that. And for people that were really ready to listen, change their perspective.
When we come back with Adam Kokesh, we'll start focusing on, you know, his transition from a Marine in Fallujah, a soldier fighting for the Constitution, what he thought he was doing, supporting his country, and how that turned out for him. Well, we're going to come back, and we'll talk about that in more detail, why he's running for Congress. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Restore the Republic, the social network for the modern revolutionary. Activating the silent masses into action. At RestoreTheRepublic.net, we're seizing power from the globalist world controllers and handing it back to the people. RestoreTheRepublic.net, where patriots rally on the objective. The Liberty Bell tolls once again for a movement on the rise. Make RestoreTheRepublic.net your place to unify and activate the revolution.
Had about enough of the bold-faced lies and propaganda, have you?
Republic Magazine exposes the mainstream media garbage for what it is. Grab a stack and take America back. Use Republic Magazine to wake the people and crush the corporate-controlled propaganda machines. Page after glossy page of factual information to fuel the second American revolution. Get it all and more at RepublicMagazine.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, we got Adam Kokesh in here. He was fighting for something. You know, he's over in Iraq, you know, doing what? You know, he thought he was going to be doing good, man. He's going to help. He joined the service. Heck, you even learned, were teaching yourself to speak Arabic, were you not?
Yes, I did, and got to a pretty good point of fluent, broken bad Arabic, where I was able to communicate and run a checkpoint without a translator for a while at our civil military operations center, just east of the city of Fallujah.
Commitment to help. And then you found out, yeah, maybe you're not helping that much. Now, you know, you go through a lot of stuff. You know, Adam Kokesh, you know, you come back, you go through this process, and we'll skip ahead and get to the point to where, you know, you decide, you know, the best way to serve my country, I'm going to run for political office. Now, when you do that, oh, everything comes up. You know, and you're a good Marine, but not perfect Marine. Because what happens is, you know, here we have
Trusty Poe said you're not a real Marine until you get busted down once or twice.
I understand. Now, this is, I'm just going to give, you know, get it all summed up here so we can talk about it. We go to Freedom Fest. We went to Jekyll Island together, you know, for, you know, a meeting that we had there in the Continental Congress they're trying to put together in support of the Constitution. And, you know, in studio at the network right now is Rob Gray from Open Currency. You know, we got a... You know, he just got on and said, hey, you know, is that Adam and Ernie? Oh, my goodness. So what happens, we have our own silver coin that's being done, medallion, that I hopefully get a look at today. It comes Federal Express, and I know you're working on one. And so we're just, you know, we understand what's coming. You know, can we have some metal? I mean, you know, let's have something of value, and we're working on that. It's a good promotional piece. OpenCurrency.com, and maybe we'll get Rob in here in a little bit. But the one thing that I want to make sure that we get to, when you come back and you become such an effective voice for this, a Marine that was in Iraq, in Fallujah, comes back articulate, gives a great speech and says, I am against this. Here are my reasons. You're going to get attention. These are the things that come up. You go to Wiki, you look at all your stuff, and you know, you're saying, I was a sergeant in Iraq. Yes, you were. And then you came back and got busted down to corporal. Why?
I brought a pistol back. It was a souvenir that I purchased from an Iraqi police officer. And I was in violation of General Order 1A in doing so, which, by the way, is the same one that says you can't have any porn or booze in theater. And you know that the General Order is not particularly well-respected because of that. But I do have some regrets about how that went down. But, no moral regrets, and I didn't do anything that keeps me up at night or that bothers my conscience.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, here you have a 17-year-old, he joins the Marines, he goes to Iraq, he's in Fallujah, he goes through all this, and he wants to bring back a 9mm pistol is what it was, right?
Right.
A 9mm pistol that he bought, you know?
And right, combining two of my favorite activities, civil disobedience and firearms. But more importantly, the people that are treated very well by the system, the people that get all the medals and get all the promotions because they kiss the right butt, and this is true in the civilian and the government sector as well, the people that are taken care of, the people that benefit from the systems of violence, are not inclined to question things. But for me, it was very, very important in my experience to get out of the Marines and be just disgruntled enough to really start questioning everything. And because I got in trouble for bringing the pistol back and was just mentally primed for getting a new perspective on my experience, I think it was really important. I'm really grateful for the way that things went down, because if it wasn't for that, if I didn't screw up and get hurt by the system, I wouldn't have questioned it the way that I did. I wouldn't have come out and said everything I've been able to say since then. But, you know, about people who are hurting because of the systems of violence, and, you know, what I associate with anxiety as a result of PTSD in terms of combat stress was, you know, more distressful than getting in trouble with the Marines. And it makes sense for me to come out and tell all these stories. What I want to hear is other people inspired to come out and tell all of the, you know, stupid, little, painful, annoying stories and be open about all the ways in which government is hurting us in our daily lives. I want to hear from the guy that just got a $200 traffic ticket, and that's two loads of groceries that his family's not going to get this month, because there are real people suffering as a result of this. And the reason that people are so close to that line and are suffering in America today is partly because of the cost of these occupations. And it's not just the numbers that you put on it. And, you know, by most accounting now, Iraq has cost us over $3 trillion. Of course, you know that the numbers and the dollars are irrelevant compared to taking that kind of manpower and materiel out of the United States economy, where it may be productively contributing to goods and services that help Americans in their quality of life, and taking that and investing it in nation building, where we're having gross unintended consequences of our presence there and hurting other people. Now we're hurting back at home, too.
But now, see, you're a good spokesman for this, but I want to get some stuff in here. You know, this is going to be archived show. It's going to be the quintessential, you know, Ernie Adam, and I'm telling you, I want to get this stuff out. When you come back, you had a firearm that was found when you were going to school later, and they came across, and long story, doesn't matter, but they go to the Marines, hey, man, this guy, you know, had a gun. Well, you know, they now go, you know, boom, you're down to corporal now, and you were already out. I mean, you were in, what, reserves then, going to school or something?
No, back then I was on active duty, and I got in trouble right when I was supposed to go back to Iraq for a second time, and ended up as a sergeant who spoke Arabic mowing lawns and running a barracks at Camp Pendleton, and that was a big source of my disgruntledness, was to be misused in such a way.
Now, I understand that, and you start to become aware of your surroundings and what's happening and the military and the war, and you start to, you know, seek out others that had questions, and you start to come together. Then you attract roadies. I mean, you got people in support of you, and, oh, you're getting attention. You got people on the other side. Now, we were at Freedom.
If you're not pissing people off, you're not doing it right.
You know, got to be said for that. Now, you got on the other side, there's a gentleman, an older guy. God, he had to be probably close to 70, I would imagine, and of the Vietnam era. And he was very upset that you are anti-war. I'm sure it was the base of his complaint. But he had three main things. And I spent time with him. We did interviews on it. And I'm sure it'll eventually make it to YouTube. One, you were a rule breaker. You came back with a firearm you weren't supposed to. You were a rule breaker. Okay. Well, is that it? I mean, you have to understand the generation that you represent. That, you know, World War II and Korea, they're coming back. I mean, that was kind of expected. Everybody brought all kinds of stuff back. You know, but now, you know, they got rules. Nope, can't do that. Rule breaker. Okay, I'm not sure that's going to be a deal killer for a lot of this revolution on that one. So let's go ahead and go to the next one. Then the next one was that you were campaigning or protesting as an anti-war Iraq veteran against the war, and at these same functions, there were other organizations like Code Pink and, you know, the fill in the blank of all the other left kind of whatever. And the fact that you were there and not, I don't know, slapping them or something, you know, really bugged these guys. And there was a group called Gathering of Eagles. And I started looking them up and so on. I kind of got the impression they were anti-war protesters.
Yeah. To the pro-war people that you see at anti-war rallies. And, you know, this is exactly what Rothbard advises in terms of issue coalition building. But ironically, now that I'm running for office as a Republican, you know, we're getting accused of, as a movement now, of infiltrating the Republican Party, because we're the fastest growing segment of it, and we're calling it back to its core principles. But in reality, you could just as well say that I was infiltrating the anti-war movement with constitutionalism and challenging all those people. And I did, ideologically, every chance I got, when they were advocating more big government programs, you know. And of course, I think the big ones for the people in the anti-war movement, who make up the bulk of it at least, are, you know, environmental issues and government-run healthcare. And so whenever I had a chance to challenge them on those, I took great opportunity to do that. And actually, just recently, I don't know if I should be telling everybody this, but I was at the Code Pink House in Washington, D.C., because I have a lot of friends in that organization who are very well-intentioned people, who were really involved as activists, doing it for the right reasons. They're very passionate. And I was there with some of that campaign team. And I think by the end of the day, we turned half the Code Pink House into volunteerists.
You know, and a lot of people need to understand volunteerists. Go ahead and describe that. What does that mean?
Well, it's a philosophical ideal in that all human interactions should be voluntary and free of force, violence, and coercion. And I really think philosophically that's the root of libertarianism, that as much as possible, what is done by government force should be supported by voluntary interactions and voluntary support, as opposed to coercive means or threats or violent extraction.
And that is such a powerful message that you are going to be able to bring to your generation, to these other groups where you have credibility. And I know this for a fact because I was a talk show host on the Air America affiliate here in Phoenix as their token libertarian. You think I don't get all the Obama worshipers, and we got to have national health care and, you know, and Medicare, Medicaid, and this and whatever government program du jour that they are in support of, and to give this, yeah, with a gun to my forehead? I mean, you know.
Ernie, you mean that they're not contagious? You can hang out with those people and not, like, come out just totally turn pink?
When you are in the right, when you advocate peace, when you advocate non-initiation of force, how can you not have an impact on them? You know, this
is. You mean you can march next to a deluded communist and not catch communism?
Absolutely. Libertarians are immune. So the thing is that, you know, there's a lot of people that, as we spent time with this gentleman, his name was Larry, I can't remember his last name, but, you know, he was, you know, he represented another generation, and he was passionate about this stuff. But in the end, it really came out to where he disagreed, even at the Freedom Fest, he's a supporter of Dr. Paul and contributed to his campaign and so on, but he disagreed with his stance on the war by not continuing to fund it once the troops are over there, which is kind of the mantra for let's keep doing the war, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm...
Yeah.
So I understood where he was coming from, and his focus was, you know, you have roadies. And during this campaign, they are on both sides. You have the young generation that has just been, you know, you're already raised. Yeah, we haven't even got into the election season yet after Labor Day, and you already raised $50,000, $60,000. So now we have the other side are going, oh, man, we got to go get this guy. What do we get him on? He's a rule breaker, a young 20-something-year-old Marine that was in Fallujah, comes back, and he brings a gun. You know, damn. And then you have the other thing is that you're, and I know what the other one was. You, and this is how the Charles Goyette Show, when I was producing that, we were aware of you. And I can go back and find that archive. We first did a show with you years ago, back when you did a street action. It was a theater that you guys, I want you to tell me about that in just a couple of minutes that we have here before the break. You know, sure. This is where you became the thorn in the side of the Pentagon. That's how they were referring to you.
As long as you promise on the next segment to let me talk about the other heckler who said Freedom Fest. We did a street theater action called Operation First Casualty, and it's been called that because it has long been said that the first casualty of war is the truth. And so we reenacted a street combat patrol with a group of veterans dressed in full fatigue, of course, with mostly deliberately stripped down uniforms to some degree. I was not wearing my name, face, or rank insignia, but it was very obvious because we were surrounded by people distributing flyers saying what we were doing, that we were Iraq veterans against the war, that we weren't there impersonating the military or, you know, trying to speak on behalf of the military. And we had volunteer civilians playing affected peoples, and they weren't pretending to be Iraqis or speaking Arabic or anything like that, but they would go into crowds, and we would then treat them as some Iraqis are treated every day in the process of imposing martial law, and they were arbitrarily zip-cuffed and had sandbags put over their heads and detained in these sort of mock scenarios. And I was fortunate enough that my photograph made the front cover of the style section of the Washington Post. I don't know what that's saying about the new digital camis, but I was quite flattered. And so someone at the Marine Corps Mobilization Command, which oversees the inactive reserves of which I was a part at the time, saw that and didn't take too kindly to it, and sent an email to myself and to the other Marines. One of them got a phone call, actually, who were a part of this. The rest were Army personnel or Army veterans. And when you're in the individual ready reserves, you're on call, which means that you have to maintain a valid address and phone number with the military. And if they, in an emergency, they may call you up, but you're not subject to the UCMJ or any regulations, and you're essentially entitled to all the rights of a civilian at that point. And so they send me this email saying, you may be in violation of this, that, and the other. And as a young, pissed off Marine, I took advantage of the opportunity to tell this Marine Corps major who was, you know, I said, despite what you may think of these nation-building exercises going on right now, we got Marines dying there every day. You're an active duty major, and it's shameful that you are investigating the political activities of an inactive reservist over which you really have no authority when you could be doing something to bring these devil dogs home alive. So, no. Well, he finished his email saying, please write back or call to acknowledge your obligations and responsibilities. And I said, in mine, so no, I am not writing to acknowledge my obligations and responsibilities, but rather to ask you to please kindly go F yourself. And they didn't take too kindly to that. And so they came after me and tried to make an example out of me. And like most authoritarian attempts to make an example out of someone, this one backfired. And they tried to change my discharge in a way that was legally unprecedented, clear-cut case of political harassment, and to strip me of the benefits that I'd earned over my active service. So we wrestled it to a tie legally, and I got a general discharge, which allowed me to maintain my health benefits for what that's worth. But more importantly, we totally dominated the PR battle to the point where they were resorting to lying about the other Marines involved in this case in order to bury their cases. They were lying to the media about them. But for me, I earned the title the Pentagon's worst public relations nightmare. and really did a great job of bringing attention to our cause. It was a huge boon for Iraq Veterans Against the War. It was a great rallying point for the anti-war movement, and I had a chance to stand up for what I believed in. They tried to activate me for this, you know, kangaroo court hearing they'd put together, and I refused to sign the papers, and instead I went in there with a beard and a boonie cover and my IBEW t-shirt and said, yeah, let's roll the dice, let's see what happens. You know, as with most really blatant attempts at authoritarianism, this one failed and really backfired on them. And I'm really
It's what launched you. There are so many other things. People that, you know, you came to the attention of, they did the Revolution March last July and a year ago, and they put you in the lineup with Dr. Paul. You spoke just a minutes before him, and boom! You put Adam Kokesh in there, K-O-K-E-S-H, and you will see. You go to Freedom's Phoenix right now. The top story has him, and I'll tell you, you'll learn a lot about him. Well, we have a little bit more from Adam when we come back here and Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Adam Kokesh in just a little bit.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Peace train sounding louder. Ride on the peace train. Come on the peace train.
Yeah, let's get on the peace train. You know, is that a bad thing? You go around and you say you're for peace, and that makes you like what? Bad? You know, when did that happen? You know, too much Fox News. Let's go ahead and go back to Adam. You wanted to talk about, you know, you had another roadie that was following you at Freedom Fest. What was going on?
Well, yeah, and I think this woman was with Larry there. And when I mentioned the joke that you like to tell, that in your process
awakening realization was that you had an epiphany, and that was that we really just have to wait for the older generation to die off in order to have this revolution. And that may be necessary chronologically in the greater scheme of things, that it's going to take more people having grown up. It's going to take a certain amount of time, and it's going to take a certain refreshing of blood in America. It's going to take younger people coming into power, the people that grew up with the internet hardwired with the truth button, as you said it, one click away. But I pointed out this idea that, you know, we just have to wait for the older people to die off, you know, the people that control all of the horrible institutions of government and so on. And that's not, of course, a statement about all old people. But this woman said...
All people over 30?
right, exactly. But this woman here got really upset. And it was obviously a joke, the way it was stated. But I was really kind of taken aback by this, that she either had such a poor sense of humor or was that sensitive about it. But it is kind of a delicate way of talking about things. But when she said, well, you need our support, too.
Yeah, when has that happened?
But I wish I had said, you know what? No, we don't. This revolution is going to happen with or without you. And it's going to happen with or without me and the people of my generation. We don't need the older people, and the people that are being born today don't need me and my generation. This is the inevitable course of the progress of humanity towards a society of greater love, faith, and respect between fellow human beings. And if you want to be on our side, you have that choice. And the older you are, the more inclined you are to say, you know what, I'm just going to take care of myself. I'm going to enjoy my retirement. And that's what makes it that much more powerful to see the older generation who get this. People like you, Ernie, even though I know you're not quite older yet, you're just a little bit older than me. But the older generation like Larry and this woman who was at this event, you know, for people like of that age to say, you know what, I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to just let go everything that's happened in my lifetime. I'm going to keep fighting it, and I'm going to do something to support the younger generation that's in a position to actively do something about it. It makes it that much more significant that they're doing it. But I think it's, you know, for a moment it threw me off, and I lost this perspective that this revolution is inevitable. It's happening with or without the older generation. It's happening with or without my generation. This is an idea whose time has come. What it represents is the inevitable course of progress of humanity, and you can only choose what side you're going to be on.
No, and I understand, and to put this in private conversations, and sometimes when I was younger, I used to say it, but it was when I was your age, when I was in my mid-late 20s and first became aware, 89 to 93, around in there, you know, I started to realize what was going on. Everybody I was against, everybody that was so ingrained in the system, they were supporting it, they were, you know, 60 to 70, 80, the people that had the resources, the money, that had built these empires, that control these congressmen, that do all, I'm going, oh, I get it. I just have to wait for them to die off. So I saw in the future you. I knew that this next generation was coming. And with the internet, I knew that they were going to be able to communicate with each other. They were going to be a force that could not be stopped. It's not that I'm encouraging or waiting or wanting them to die off. That's not the point. The point is, it's just a fact. This next generation, generation next, the revolution is nigh. And you're either going to be part of it or not. And I tell you one thing that Adam always says, you can fight for humanity or you can fight against it. You know, I'm glad that we're choosing to go for it. Well, thanks for coming on, man. You know, we had a great time, and I'm glad you got to know him a little bit. And we'll see you in the next hour here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock.
With recent